Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The final verse of our gospel reading tells us something very important. It tells us that Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the son of Mary and Joseph, this Jesus is the Son of God who came to be the Savior of the world. When Jesus was baptized, we read that the heavens opened up, the Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove, and the voice from heaven, the voice of God the Father, says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God, the Messiah come at last. Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, who came to save God's people from their sins and give them the gift of eternal life. That's the message of our text. If you know that on your own you are lost and condemned, if you know that you need a Savior from sin, if you believe that Jesus Christ is that Savior, then you have all you need to know to be sure that your sins are forgiven and one day you will live in heaven with God. We could stop right there. But Pastor, you and I are old enough to know we're not going to stop right there, right? We're going to keep on going just a little bit. As I sometimes do, I want you to do some imagining. I want you to put yourself in the sandals of someone else. I want you to imagine for just a little bit that you are a shepherd on the night of Jesus' birth. You're there when the angel came to the shepherds and said, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And you are there when a multitude joins the angel, and they say, "Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace with men of goodwill." And so you and your fellow shepherds go to Bethlehem. And you find where Mary and Joseph and the newborn baby are. You get to see the baby. And then you return, glorifying and praising God, telling everyone what you have seen and heard. As a shepherd, you have heard the good news from the angels. You have gone and seen the baby Jesus. And now you're back in your field. And you wait. You wait to see what will happen with the Messiah. What will he do? And you wait a long time. Bethlehem was a small town. We don't know the actual population. What different things I read said maybe 1,000 people, more likely 300 or 400. We really don't know. How many of you here have lived in a small town? I have. 3 years of elementary school, Elma, Iowa, had 700 people. Junior high, I was in a town of 1,500. I went to high school in O'Neill, Nebraska. We had 3,900 people. Bigger than Bethlehem, but still a small town. If you ever lived in a small town, you know what it's like. My sophomore year, I was elected to be a prom server. All that really meant was 10 of us in the sophomore class got to be waiters and waitresses at the junior-senior prom. But it also meant if we wanted to, we could go to the dance and bring a date. I didn't have a girlfriend, didn't really want to go to the dance part of the evening, but some of the girls in my class conspired and they had a friend who wasn't a prom server and she wanted to go. And so before I knew it, I was asking Carolyn Hill for a date. I was too shy to ask her face-to-face at school, so I called her on her farmhouse phone. The only problem was she was on a party line, and that meant several families shared the same line, and sometimes people were known to listen in on conversations of their neighbors. So when I was talking to Carolyn, I found out a few other ladies were listening, and pretty soon everybody knew I was taking Carolyn to the prom. My first girlfriend was a girl named Carol. On her 16th birthday, I bought her a dozen roses and had them delivered to her house. Problem was, a girl from high school worked in the flower shop, and other people saw the delivery van go to Carol's house, And before I even had a chance to talk to Carol and she could thank me, I was getting comments around town, "Well, aren't you the little romantic? How you doing today, Romeo?" There are not many secrets in a small town. So in the small town of Bethlehem, you as a shepherd would have known when Mary and Joseph moved out of the stable, wherever they were, into a house. And you would have heard that some wise men came from a foreign country in the east, and they went to the house of Mary and Joseph and now a little toddler Jesus. You heard that they knelt down to worship him and proclaimed him a king and offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. You were there. You also heard about the horror that Pastor shared with us of the Holy Innocents, about how Herod's soldiers came and killed all the boy babies who were 2 years old and younger. As a nearby shepherd, I'm sure you would have been affected by the tragedy. It may have even been one of your little nephews that was killed by the soldiers. Did you ask the question when you heard, what about that Jesus, the Messiah? Was he dead too? Did he escape? And then you would have heard the rumor fairly quickly that Joseph had fled and taken Mary and the baby somewhere else. They had run away. You would have heard and seen all of this, and if you were a shepherd, then you wouldn't hear anything about the Messiah for 28 years. Oh, maybe somebody had a relative that was up in Jerusalem when Jesus came to the temple when he was 12 and was astonishing the teachers of the law with his knowledge and understanding, but it's more likely it was 28 years before you heard anything about this Messiah. Let me repeat that. As a shepherd, you saw the baby Jesus. You heard about the coming of the wise men. You saw the horror of the soldiers. And then the newborn king disappeared from your life. Where were you 28 years ago? Now, if you're under 28, think back as far as you can. But for the rest of us, 28 years. Are you doing the math? Where were you in 1998? What were you doing? Has much changed in your life since then? How much has happened in those 28 years? I bet a lot has happened and there have been many changes, some planned and a few surprises along the way. 28 years, do you think the shepherds still remembered that Jesus was supposed to be the Messiah? Do you think they ever wondered where he was and what he was doing? Well, the Bible tells us that after Herod died, Mary and Joseph got the word that they could return. And so they went back, but they went to Nazareth. We read about the trip I alluded to when Jesus was 12. They went to the temple and Jesus talked for 3 days with the leaders in the temple. And Scripture says he grew in wisdom and in stature with God and man. But that's it. After that event, 18 more years passed. We don't hear anything about his teenage years. We don't hear anything about what he said or what he did until he turns 30. Finally, at 30, Jesus is ready to begin his public ministry. So he went to John to be baptized. And when he came up out of the water after being baptized, we're told the heavens opened up, a dove descended, and the voice of God boomed, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." John the Baptist was preaching and teaching at the Jordan. He was calling people to repentance. He was telling them they were lost and condemned in their sin, that they were sinful and needed to repent, but that they could be forgiven. He called them to repent and be baptized. And so John's baptizing people when Jesus shows up. And as we read in the Gospel, John says, "No, I shouldn't baptize you. You ought to be baptizing me." But Jesus said, "No, to fulfill all righteousness, I need to be baptized." Jesus was true man as well as true God, and so he needed to be under the law as well. Jesus is about to begin his public ministry. He's about to start preaching and teaching and doing miracles and signs to draw people to him. And to kick off his ministry, God the Father speaks from heaven and said, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." John the Baptist would point at Jesus and say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John pointed to Jesus, claiming he was the Messiah come at last. And to verify it, the heavens opened up, the dove descends, and the voice of God declares him his son. In about 5 weeks, the gospel reading will be the Transfiguration. And we'll find Jesus on a mountaintop with Moses and Elijah. And at the end of that, it says again, "This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased." But it adds something. Listen to him. So what would Jesus say and do when he began to preach and teach? There are some 37 miracles in the Bible where he healed the lame and the sick and the blind. We read that he could calm the wind and the wave and the storm. We see him treat people with love and compassion. And he said things like, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus says the only way to heaven, the only way to eternal life, is through faith in him as the Son of God. Not Buddha, not Allah, not the Great Spirit, not the, "Well, I'm spiritual, I'm not really religious." Only Jesus is the way to heaven. You probably don't spend much time watching videos about the decline of Christianity in the United States of America. But such videos and articles you could read tell us something interesting. It says the winners right now among mainline denominations are those losing members the slowest. Hear me what I'm saying. They say those who are winning in the mainline denominations are not growing and gaining members. They're losing more slowly than the other ones. That is the reality. I find more and more people that I bump into in life are basically what I would call an agnostic. An agnostic who says there may or may not be a God, there may or may not be life after death, but I really don't care. It's not important to me. Certainly not important enough for them to become members of a church and be active in their faith. And more in this society, we who believe the great good news, we who believe in salvation by faith in Jesus Christ, we're the weird ones now. In the small towns I mentioned that I grew up in, everybody I knew claimed to belong to a church. Where people once would have been apologetic if they couldn't say that, now it's commonplace. And yet Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." What else did Jesus say? To Nicodemus, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus promises you and me, if we believe in him as the Son of God and the Savior of the world, we will live forever with God in heaven. And when we read about heaven, we hear words like no more tears, no more sorrow, that God will wipe away every tear, that there'll be a great banquet that we'll enjoy. And not only that, he says that he's personally going to go and prepare a place for us. The loved ones we have lost, the loved ones who have gone before us, are in heaven in a place that Jesus prepared for them. Jesus also said, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you." Jesus says you and I can go to him anytime, in any place, and ask him whatever we need. What a powerful promise. God, the creator of the whole world, hears your prayers. In this day and age, try going and talking to someone important in life or entertainment or government. Certainly couldn't walk into the White House and say, "You know, I'm here to see Donald." Couldn't walk into the governor's mansion and say, "Could I see Andy Beshear?" Probably couldn't even walk into the mayor's house here in town or mayor's office and say, "You know, can I talk to her without an appointment?" You don't walk onto the UK campus and say, "Where's Mark Pope's office?" Or, "Where's new coach Will Stein?" Or, "Volleyball coach Craig Stenner?" But you can immediately, at any time, in any place, go to God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, and lay out your entire cares and concerns. Jesus also said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus knows you. Knows everything about you. Knows when you're feeling pretty proud about yourself and think life's going pretty good and I've been a pretty good boy or girl. Knows when we're kind of ashamed and we're almost afraid to lift up our head in prayer, thinking we don't deserve it. He knows our hurts and our fears and our cares and concerns. He knows our joy and excitement. And He loves us so much, He says, I will lay down my life for you. And He did, didn't He? He went to the cross. After 3 years of preaching and teaching and doing miracles and proving He had power over even nature, He was arrested. He was beaten. He was spit upon. And He was taken to the cross of Calvary and crucified. And on that cross, He gave His life for you and for me and for all of humanity. He made it possible for all who would believe to have eternal life. I wonder if any of the shepherds got to hear Jesus preach. I wonder if any of them got to witness a miracle. Pretend you're that shepherd again. You happen to be when Jesus tells a lame man to pick up his bed and walk. You see the man pick up his bed and walk away, and the crowd's buzzing and talking. I don't know if I could have resisted. I probably would have said, you know, I knew him when he was just a baby. The angels actually came and told me that he had been born and he was the Messiah. Would you rejoice that the 8-year wait was over and Jesus was fulfilling his promises? I think you would. It would have been awesome to be a shepherd and be there and hear the message of the angels and see the baby Jesus. But in some ways, you are even more blessed than they are. You get to read the entire story of God's plan of salvation. You can open up your Bible and read it anytime you want and see all of what God has done for us. You can read how He died on the cross, how He was put in a tomb, but the tomb couldn't hold Him. And on the third day, He arose from the grave victorious over sin, death, and the power of the devil. At Jesus' baptism, the voice of God said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." You have heard and believed that great good news. So what do you do now? Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father in heaven." What do you do now? You live your faith. You put it into action. You rejoice in the good news for you, and then you try to share it. And you try to use your life and your actions and your love and your charity to live the life God has given you, to fulfill the roles you have as child or parent or husband or wife or brother or sister or neighbor, fellow congregation member, as neighbor, on and on and on, fulfilling the roles God gives you the opportunity to do. You are to faithfully put your faith into action so that your deeds as well as your words say, "I believe Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. I believe He's the Savior of the world." It is not 2,000 plus years ago in Bethlehem. It's 2026. But God still wants you to hear His voice and listen to Him. He wants to appear to you in His holy word. And He wants to hear from you in prayer. And He wants you to continue to grow in your faith and life. He's still saying, "I am God." He's still saying, "Jesus Christ, my Son, is your Savior." So I urge you to rejoice in this great good news and live a life of faith. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Amen.